Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Pushing through the market square. So many mothers sighing. News had just come over. We had 5 years left crying. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet. Then I knew he was not lying.
40 years ago today, the world learned it would end in 5 years. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and June 6, 1972, was the day David Bowie released his landmark album, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. The world would go on, but neither Bowie's career nor rock music in general would ever be the same. And if that sounds like an overstatement, well, it's actually hard to overstate the importance of Ziggy Stardust. It ushered in the era of glam rock, which in and of itself was maybe a passing phase, but with glam rock came a sense of theater, and even more important, a new, expansive look at gender and sexuality.
People stare at the makeup on his face, laughed at his long black hair, his animal grace. The boy in the bright blue jeans jumped up on the stage.
For David Bowie, the Ziggy Stardust album marked a change from a singer-songwriter with a couple of quirky minor hits, Space Oddity and Changes, into a larger-than-life figure whose songs were part of an even bigger package of dystopian sci-fi and outrageous costumes.
I could make a transformation as a rock and roll star. So
and for me, well, I basically learned to play the guitar by playing along with most of these songs. As it turns out, that was the easy part. Figuring out the actual story, that's a lot harder.
I could fall in love, all right, as a rock and roll star.
So who was Ziggy Stardust? Well, Bowie has said that the name Ziggy referred to a local tailor, and since the stage shows were going to be so clothing-centric, it seemed an appropriate name. It also had the advantage of echoing the name of the American proto-punk icon Iggy Pop, whose career Bowie would soon be resuscitating.
Where the temperate meets the sea, I live here in Kill City. Where the temperate meets the sea, it's a playground for the rich, but it's a loaded gun.
Stardust referred to the country western novelty act known as the legendary Stardust Cowboy, who was briefly a label mate of Bowie's.
Down in Pahrump, Nevada, I caught up with you. Down in Pahrump, Nevada, down in Pahrump, Nevada.
Beyond that, Bowie himself becomes an unreliable narrator. He once came up with a whole story that takes you through the album song by song. But this sounds to me like something he retrofitted after the album came out. In this story, Ziggy Stardust is a rock star who, as Earth falls apart, uses his music to bring people the hopeful news that creatures from beyond Earth have come.
Switch on the TV, we may pick him up on channel 2. Look out your window, I can see his light. If we can sparkle,
But Bowie has also at times suggested that Ziggy Stardust is himself an alien. And certainly in live performances, Ziggy slash Bowie did not look like anything from this planet. Ziggy became Bowie's alter ego, a kind of Russian nesting doll of musical personas, since Bowie himself was a construct built on the young English singer who was born David Jones. And his band, rechristened the Spiders from Mars for this album, became characters in the tale of Ziggy Stardust as well.
Now Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the Spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. Became on so loaded, man, well hung in snow white tan.
That band is a big part of the reason why the Ziggy Stardust album has aged so well. Because, let's face it, some of the lyrics sounded silly even back in the 70s and fall with a clang on the ear today. Though to Bowie's credit, he seems to acknowledge that in the song Moon Age Daydream, where he sings, "Keep your mouth shut, you're squawking like a pink monkey bird, and I'm busting up my brain for the words." This song, by the way, is, for me, the heart of the album. A fantasy of interstellar, interspecies love, which ends with one of guitarist Mick Ronson's finest moments. The late Mick Ronson remains, for me, one of the most underrated guitarists in rock. He wasn't the quickest or the flashiest, but his playing was unbelievably clean, and his musical decisions were often brilliant. Listen to how he builds a solo out of a series of long-held tones at the end of the song. But to get back to the Ziggy Stardust story, whether human or alien, Ziggy becomes a rock star, a messianic figure for an Earth that is dying. And here's where the already blurry story begins to get really fuzzy. Bowie would later say that the Starman and other aliens turn out to be useless to the planet and its people, and in fact, seeing Ziggy's almost mystic musical powers, they tear him apart so they can have a piece of whatever it is that makes him, or made him, tick. But in the song Ziggy Stardust, it sounds like Ziggy's own fans eventually turn on him.
Making love with his ego. Ziggy is sucked up into his mind. Like a leper messiah. When the kids had killed a man, I had to break out the band.
Again, trying to follow the story too closely is a losing enterprise, especially since it seems that Ziggy dies again a few minutes later in the song Rock and Roll Suicide. The album also detours into covers territory, with a song by the obscure American Ron Davies called It Ain't Easy.
When you climb to the top of the mountain, look out over the sea. Think about the place perhaps where a young man could be. Then you jump back down to the rooftops. Look out over the town. Think about all of the strange things circulating round.
That's Bowie on harpsichord, by the way. He and Mick Ronson did most of the arrangements themselves, and they add another dimension to the sound. But Bowie also seems to have realized that his album needed some good, hard-driving rock, and the song Suffragette City would provide that. In fact, the song may have done its job too well. For many listeners, the whole record boiled down to Bowie's simple and lascivious Wham Bam Thank You Ma'am. I was never able to figure out how this song fit into the Ziggy story, and in fact, like Rock and Roll Suicide and a few other songs, it was a late addition to the record. But it sure rocked, and it might actually have looked ahead to the punk movement that would start in a couple of years. But for 1972 and 73, David Jones, who became David Bowie, became Ziggy Stardust, who may or may not have been an alien. And then, in July of 73, with the filmmaker D.A. Pennebaker's cameras rolling, Bowie killed Ziggy Stardust.
This particular show will remain with us the longest because not only is it the last show of the tour, but it's the last show that we'll ever do. Thank you. Time takes a cigarette, puts it in your mouth, pull on your finger, then another finger, then your cigarette. While the wall to wall is calling, it lingers, but still you forget. Oh, you're a rock and roll suicide.
In fact, Bowie and the Spiders would continue to work together on his next record, Aladdin Sane. And if Bowie thought he could kill Ziggy just by saying so, well, fans and critics wouldn't let him. The album is still one of rock's genuine classics, number 35 on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest albums of all time, and even higher on some of the English lists. Today, EMI is releasing a special 40th anniversary edition of the Ziggy Stardust album. For completists, the various reissues over the years have included some of the songs that were originally slated for the album and then left off, including Velvet Goldmine, which inspired that Bowie-esque movie of the same name by Todd Haynes. For many, though, the original album, with its uncertain story and essential songs, is enough. For the Soundcheck Podcast, I'm John Schaefer.